Brachos Daf Nun. The Gemara says, Shmuel says that one shouldn't exclude himself from the group, meaning that you should say Nevarech, meaning let us bless, instead of Baruchu, blessed is he. Right? Because we had said in the Mishnah that you can't say Baruchu, but Shmuel says it's better to say Nevarech because then you're putting yourself as part of the group. However, the Mishnah straight up says you should say Baruchu. So it means that you can say Baruchu, but still, nonetheless, Nevarech is better. Of Adbar Ava quotes a Mishnah that says, six people are allowed to separate into two different groups for a Zimun, so two up to 10, but 10 people are not allowed to separate because then they won't be able to say Elohim. So the main part of that Mishnah that we're using is that it says that six people can separate into two groups of three because it's better to say Nevarich than Baruchu. If Baruchu is better, and we know that when it's you have more than three, you would say Baruchu, then how come you can separate? The fact that we're saying that you can separate into two groups of three means that we don't care. We're happy for you to say Nevarich. Because if we wanted you to only say Baruchu, we would require you to stay in a group of six or more than three when you could say Baruchu. We have a brayso that says also whether the leader said Baruchu or Nevarich, it's okay. However, the perfectionists do prefer Nevarich. Again, we see Nevarich is better. Rebbe says that if someone says Uvituvo, meaning with Hashem's goodness, then he's a Talmud Chacham. But if he says Umituvo, meaning from Hashem's goodness, which implies not all of Hashem's goodness, then he's a boor. He's an ignoramus. Abaye said to Rav Dimi, but David said, Umi bircho secha, from your bracha, which again should be a problem. So no, because David was making a request. And when you're making a request, it's not good to, you know, it's a little inappropriate to make such a large request. But we have another pasuk that says that Hashem is saying we can request anything we desire. So we answer, no, that pasuk is talking about requesting from Hashem to have hatzlacha and to have bracha in your Torah learning. For that, you can daven and you can ask for as much as you want. The Brisa says, Rebbe says that if you say bituvo chayinu, with your goodness we live, then you're a Talmud Chacham. But if you say bituvo chayim, with your goodness they live, then you're a boor, you're an ignoramus, because you're excluding yourself from the people who live through Hashem's goodness because you're saying they live. But the Nahar Balai taught the exact opposite, that when you say they live, that's more encompassing than just saying we, so it's better to say that. But we said the halacha is not like them, rather you should say bituvo chayinu. V'yochanan says, if you say nevarech she'achanu mishalo, blessed is he who, of whose we have eaten, then you're a Talmud Chacham. But if you say l'mi she'achanu mishalo, to him who we have eaten, to the one who we have eaten, so if you say to the one we have eaten, then you're a boor, because when you say to the one, it implies it's not clear who you're blessing. However, Rav Acha Berei de Rava says to Rav Ashi that we say Lemisha asa nisim avosenu, to the one who made nisim for our fathers, for our forefathers. Now the answer is because there it's obvious that who's the one who does nisim, who does miracles, that's Hashem. When you say Lemisha chanu mishalo, by the Zimun, we're not sure who's the one. That could be you're thanking the host for his food. It could be talking about other gods. It's not so clear. Rav Yochanan says that if you say Baruch she'achanu mishalo, you're a Talmud Chacham. But if you say Al hamazon she'achanu, on the food that we ate, not blessed is the one who provided the food, just on the food that we ate, where you don't have a mention of Hashem, then that's considered a boor. Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yehoshua says, this only applies when you have three people. However, when you have 10 people and you say Hashem's name, obviously you're addressing Hashem, and therefore it's fine to say Al hamazon she'achanu. So our Mishnah had said that this is the text of the Zimun, whether or not you have 10 people or you have 10,000 people, meaning that it's the same text of the Zimun no matter what the size. But then right after that, the Mishnah goes through the list. If you have 10 people, you say this. If you have 100 people, you say this. If you have 10,000 people, you say this. 1,000 people, you say this. So what? How? It seems like a direct contradiction. So if Yosef says that when the Mishnah is going through the list, that's of Yossi Aglili's opinion, who says that the Zimun is based on the size of the people. When it's saying that the Zimun is the same whether or not you have 10 or 10,000 people, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion, who says that you have the same Zimun regardless of the size of the people that you're benching with. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yossi Aglili brings down, that b'makalos baruchu Elohim, that with the assembly you should bless Hashem, which makes it seem like it's dependent on the size of people? And Rabbi Akiva uses this pasuk for a different brisa, that Rabbi Meir says that at Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Jews crossed through the sea, even the fetuses in the wombs of their mothers praised Hashem, because the pasuk says, "B'makalos baruchu Elohim Hashem mimekor Yisrael." So that pasuk that Rabbi Yossi Aglili brings down is used for this teaching. Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns, he does use this pasuk, but he just uses the word mimekor to teach that the fetus is praised Hashem, and the rest of the pasuk of B'makolos Baruch Hu Elokim is used to teach that the whole deal with the Zeman, that it's based on the amount of people. Rava says the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, that the Zeman is the same regardless of the size. Ravina and Rav Chama Bar Buzi were at went to the Reish Galusa's house, and Rav Chama Bar Buzi tried to go and get a Zeman of 100 people, so that they would be able to say the special text. But Ravina said to him, no, Rav already said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, it's all the same regardless of the amount of people. Rav says that when they ate at the Reish Galusa's house, they would break up into individual mezumins of 3 people. So why didn't they make a zimun of 10? Because they didn't want the Reish Galusa to hear them making a zimun, not with the entire tzibor, not with everyone, and he would be offended. But why didn't they just join the Reish Galusa zimun? Because since it was so, there were so many people there, it was so noisy, they wouldn't be able to hear, so it was better that they made their own private ones. Rabbi Tosva says that if you have 3 people and one of them already benched, right, then the other 2 are allowed to make a Zeman on account of this 3rd guy. However, he doesn't get the reward for a Zeman. It's not considered a Zeman for him because you can't have a Mezuman retroactively. Rav Bar Papa went to the shul of Abbe Gvir and he got an aliyah and he said, Baruch Hu Hashem. He didn't say Hamvorach. And everyone answered, Baruch Hu Hashem Hamvorach. Rabbi said to him, why are you getting involved in the dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel if you say Hamvorach or not? Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that you can say Hamvorach. He's just saying you don't have to. It's fine. Say Baruch Hu Hashem. And we know that we do hold like Rabbi Shmuel, so why are you doing that? The Mishnah says, 3 people who ate bread together can't bench separately. This only applies up to 6 people. Once you have 6 people, they can separate into 2 groups of 3. And this applies up to 10. Once you have 10 people, they can't separate because now once they have 10, they can say Elokeinu. So they can't separate until you have 20, and then they can break into 2 groups of 10. So if you have 2 groups in one house, they can combine if part of the group can see the other part of the group. Otherwise, if they're separate and they can't see each other, they have to make separate zimuns. Rabbi Elazar says that you shouldn't say Barei Bira Gafen on wine, on pure wine, until you add water and you dilute it. The Chachamim say, no, you do say Agafen regardless of the fact of if you dilute it or not. The Gemara says that we already learned that 3 people have to make a mezumin. So why are you teaching us this, that they can't split up, obviously? So rather, we say that this is going like Shmuel, who says that 3 people who sat down to eat, but they didn't eat yet, still, nonetheless, even though they haven't eaten yet and they only like plan to eat, they can't separate and not bench together. Or another version of Shmuel says that even though they're eating separate foods, still they can't separate. They have to all bench together as long as, you know, they're eating together. Or we could say the Mishnah is going like Rav Huna, who says that 3 people who came together from 3 separate groups are not allowed to separate in their Zimun. Rav Chisda says this is talking about when these 3 people came from 3 separate groups of 3 people each. Rava says that, again, this only applies when those 3 groups didn't already make a Zimun on account of that other guy. Why? Because we know that from the Mishnah that says that you have a bed that's Tameh. If half of it was stolen or lost, or brothers or partners divided the bed, then it loses its Tameh status and becomes Torah, becomes pure. But once they put it back together, you know, the one partner sells to another, whatever, the bed comes back intact, then it can now become susceptible to Tumah from now on. However, from the fact it says from now on implies that it's not Tameh, it doesn't go back to being Tameh retroactively. And we're saying that since they divided it, it's not Tameh, so too by a Zimun, since the others made a Zimun on their account, then this person who left the group, he lost his Zimun obligation and he can't make another Zimun now that he left his group. The Mishnah said that if you have 2 groups in one house, they can combine if they can see each other. Brisa adds that even if they can't see each other, if there's a waiter between the 2 groups, there's one waiter going between them, then the 2 groups can combine. The Mishnah said that you don't say agafen on the wine unless you dilute it, according to Rabbi Lezer. So the Brisa quotes this dispute. Rabbi Lezer says that you would say ha'etz on this wine if you didn't add water to it. And you would only say agafen when you add water to it. And also, if you don't add water to it, then you can use it to wash netilas yadayim. The Chachamim say, no, you always say agafen, and you can never use it for washing netilas yadayim. So we asked, who's this teaching of Shmuel going like? When Shmuel says that you can use bread for whatever you want, seemingly even if you were going to ruin the food, the bread, you could still use it for whatever you want. So we answered that's going like Rabbi Elazar, who says that you can use the wine to wash your hands, even though the wine is going to get ruined, you could still use it, so too by the bread, whatever you want to do with it, you can use it for. Rabbi Yossi Berebi Chanina says that everyone agrees that for wine that's used for benching or kiddush or anything for a mitzvah, that it has to be diluted, because Rav Oshia adds that we want mitzvah min amufchar, we want the mitzvah to be in the most choicest, preferable way. So even the Chachamim would agree that for, you know, a mitzvah, if you're making kiddush or if you're benching, you should dilute the wine. So why do we say hagafen on undiluted wine according to the Chachamim? When would you ever even use undiluted wine that you'd say a bracha on it? So we answer that it can be used to make this drink of koraiti, which is some kind of drink with undiluted wine. A braisa says that you can't put raw meat on bread. You can't pass a full cup of anything over bread. You can't throw bread. And you can't put a plate on bread. These are all precautions that we don't want the bread to get ruined. Mar Zutra threw cooked meat to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, doesn't the braisa say that you can't throw food? And he said, no, the braisa only says you can't throw bread. But Rav Ashi says, well, we have another braisa that says that just as you can't throw bread, you can't throw any food. But Mar Zutra says, well, we have another braisa that says that just as you can't throw bread, even though you can't throw bread, you can throw other food. So it's a contradiction. So he answered, how does this make sense? That's something that's considered repulsive, you can't throw. However, you can throw foods that would not be considered repulsive. It's all dependent on if it's repulsive or not. We have a braisa that says that we flow wine through the pipes in front of a chasan and kala, bride and a groom, and we can throw toasted grain and walnuts before them in the summer, but not the winter. These are all symbolic things, wishing them, you know, trying to bless them with these symbolic acts. However, you can never throw bread, whether or not it's the summer or the winter, because that's always considered repulsive. Rav Yehuda says that if you forgot to say a bracha and while you're eating, you should move that food to the side of your mouth, and you should say a bracha. However, we have three conflicting brisos. One says that you should swallow the food that's in your mouth and make a bracha. One says you should spit out the food and make a bracha. And one says you should move the food to the side of your mouth and then say a bracha. So how do we make sense of this? So the braisa that says swallowing the food, that's talking about liquids. The one that says that you should spit out the foods is talking about non-repulsive foods, so you should spit it out. And the one that says you should move it to the side of your mouth is talking about repulsive foods, so you don't want to spit it out and gross anyone out. But why can't you just move the non-repulsive food to the side of your mouth? Why do you have to spit it out? And Rav Yochanan answers, because the pasuk says that your mouth should be filled with Hashem's praise, only Hashem's praise and nothing else. So it's better to spit out the food if it's non-repulsive than to keep it in your mouth. Shkayach.